Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 24. Savai ayam sak anugita sat kato. Vede suguyesu chaguya vadibi. Ya eka iso jagad atma lilaya. Srijati avati ati na tatra sajjate. O dear friends, here is the very personality of Godhead, whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literatures by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected. Purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literatures are glorifying the greatness of Lord Sri Krishna. Here it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. The Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches by great devotees and empowered incarnations of the Lord like Vyasa, Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlada, Janaka, Bali, and Maharaj, Yamaraj. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee Sukadeva Goswami. In the Vedanta Sutras or Upanishads, there is only a hint of the confidential parts of his pastimes. In such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, the Lord has expressively been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence. His identity being fully spiritual, his form, name, quality and paraphernalia, etc., have been elaborately distinguished from matter. And therefore, he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as impersonal. But factually, he is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, and he is partially represented as Paramatma or impersonal Brahman. Oh, dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead, whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, annihilates the material world, and annihilates the material world, and yet remains unaffected. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You know, I don't think we realize that Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan and when he comes to this world, are confidential. And not all sampradayas accept them. I recently went to a temple that's built by a famous Sri Vaishnava. And there they have a representation of the spiritual world. There's no mention in that whole representation that the paintings on the walls and dioramas and things like that, nothing about Goloka Vrindavan. Zero. They don't believe it actually exists. And it's a little shocking. Or if they believe it exists, they didn't represent it in their representation of the spiritual world. And it's an elaborate representation. You know, all sculptures and all kinds of explanations and everything. And there's nothing there about Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is confidential knowledge. Not everyone is qualified to access it. And we see that even great gurus don't know about it or refuse to know about it. Let's say that they know about it, but they refuse to acknowledge it. So, here the word confidential is mentioned twice in this verse. our dear friends, here's the very personality Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literatures by his great devotees. Now, if I'm not mistaken, these are the ladies of Hastinapur who are speaking. And it's being narrated by Sukadev Goswami. So these are, you know, obviously residents of Hastinapur, the wives of exalted devotees, but they are very, they're actually cognizant of the confidential pastimes of the Lord. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literatures are glorifying the greatness of Lord Sri Krishna. Here is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. Not everyone would agree with that statement. There are a lot of people that don't agree with it. They think it's something else besides Krishna. The Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches by great devotees and empowered incarnations of the Lord like Vyasa, Narada, Sukha, Goswami, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlada, Janaka, Bali, and Yamaraj. So actually, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, those are the Mahajans. There's 12 Mahajans. It's mentioning 9 of them here. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee Sukadev Goswami. So here he's mentioned confidential twice in that one sentence. Because this is confidential knowledge. Not everybody recognizes the Srimad Bhagavatam, although they should. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Midnapur to discuss who is superior, the caste Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. And when the pundits in Midnapur heard that he's sending his son, they freaked out because they knew that he was a top expert in the Vedic literatures. And they knew that, you know, the Vaishnavas, they give special importance to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So what did they say? They said, you can come, but you can't mention Bhagavatam, you can't mention Mahabharata or Bhagavad Gita, and you can't mention the Puranas. You can only speak on the Upanishads. You can't mention any statements from these other literatures. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, okay, I agree. And he went there, and he defeated them without mentioning Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Mahabharata, and the Puranas, just mentioning the Upanishads, which are parts of the original four Vedas. So you see, not everybody accepts these scriptures, and they ignore facts. That is a technique, just ignoring facts. Just like scientists, that so-called scientists and anthropologists and biologists, when they talk about Darwinism, they selectively choose evidence that seems to support their thesis, and they reject any evidence that doesn't. So that selective, acceptance of certain evidence and rejection of other evidence is a technique that people use. And so it's the same thing has been used in the study of the Vedas. Now, when we talk about the Vedas, usually the Vedanta Sutra is like really the philosophical, the top philosophical part of the Vedas. Although, I'm pretty sure the Brahmins in Midnapur rejected. I forgot to mention that. They also told him he couldn't use the Vedanta Sutra. But Vedanta Sutra, Prabhupada says very clearly, You can understand, you can go up to only Brahman realization of the Lord by studying Vedanta Sutra. You can't go past that. Let me see if it says, I think he said it here. He says, but in Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee, Sukadeva Goswami. In the Vedanta Sutras, or the Upanishads, there is only a hint of the confidential parts of his pastimes. In such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, the Lord has expressly been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence. His identity, being fully spiritual, his form, name, quality, and paraphernalia, etc., have been elaborately distinguished from matter, and therefore he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as impersonal. You see? So you will not go past the impersonal understanding just by studying Vedanta or the Upanishads, because there's only hints of Krishna's confidential pastimes there. It's some joker who is in India now, and he and his followers are sending out many, many different internet, let's say, communication with ISKCON leaders, telling them, telling them, cease and desist from giving false knowledge about the Vedas. Radharani never existed, and you're discouraging young children from eating onion and garlic, which is good for their immune system. And also, you have given a false representation of the Vedas. Yeah, and they're not giving up. I mean, every week there's 2, 3, 4 emails coming. So you see, and then one time a man came here, and he told me, "Oh, Prabhu, I have to talk to you. Your guru has misrepresented the truth." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Krishna didn't speak the Bhagavad Gita. It was Lord Shiva that spoke it." So this is what, and he gave me a whole pile of books. It was the same book. He said, "Please give one to every one of your members, at least the leaders or the prominent members of your society, so that they can learn the truth." I said, "Okay, well, how many do you have?" He said, "Well, I got about 40 books." I said, "Give them all to me. I'll give them to everyone." So he gave me all. After he left, I threw them all out. You see, this is what's going on in India. There's all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of nonsense. And it's not that it was in the past and now it's not happening. It gets worse now because there's so many phony teachers. And not all of them are, you know, Shaivites or atheists. Some are Vaishnavas also. Because this is confidential knowledge. It is not accessible by people who speculate. That's the whole point. The speculators will not understand because they're not humble enough. They still have a false ego, even though they might be able to cite the Vedas better than us, quote all kinds of verses, but their understanding of them are all usually partially incorrect or completely incorrect. So, in such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, the Lord has expressively been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence, his identity being fully spiritual, his form, name, qualities, and paraphernalia, etc., have been elaborately distinguished from matter, and therefore he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as impersonal. But factually, he is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, and he is partially represented as Paramatma or impersonal Brahman. So Prabhupada has said this many times already. Let me see if I can find some of those other quotes. Okay, so previously, he says, said, let me see if it's here. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 25 and 26. Here he says, the less intelligent classes of men, namely, fallen women, sudras, and unqualified sons of the higher castes, are devoid of necessary qualifications to understand the purpose of the transcendental Vedas. For them, the Mahabharata was prepared. The purpose of the Mahabharata is to administer the purpose of the Vedas, and therefore within this Mahabharata, the summary Veda of Bhagavad Gita is placed. The less intelligent are more interested in stories than in philosophy. And therefore, the philosophy of the Vedas in the form of the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Lord Sri Krishna. Vyasadeva and Lord Krishna are both on the transcendental plane, and therefore they collaborated in doing good to the fallen souls of this age. The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It is the first book of spiritual values, as the Upanishads are. The Vedanta philosophy is the subject matter for study by the spiritual graduates. Only the postgraduate spiritual student can enter into the spiritual or devotional service of the Lord. It is a great science, and a great professor is the Lord himself in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And persons who are empowered by him can initiate others in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So here it says, only the postgraduate spiritual student can enter into the spiritual or devotional service of the Lord. The Vedanta philosophy is the subject matter for study by the spiritual graduates. Okay, so you have the Puranas and Mahabharata, which are all stories, mostly. And there's some philosophy, but mostly stories. When you get to Vedanta Sutra, it becomes hardcore philosophy. So then, so you see that Vyasadeva was not satisfied after compiling the Vedas, writing the Puranas, or compiling the Puranas and writing some of them, and then the Mahabharata, which he wrote, and then the Vedanta Sutra, which he wrote. After all that, he was dissatisfied. Srila Vyasadeva was not satisfied with himself, although he had presented literatures of Vedic value for the all-around welfare of the general mass of people. It was expected that he would be satisfied by all such activities, but ultimately, he was not satisfied. So now, why is it, if he's not satisfied after writing all that? Because he did not clearly explain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He mentioned it, but it was buried in a huge amount of stories and philosophy, and people don't necessarily understand it by reading the Vedas. Okay. So it says here, undoubtedly Srila Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievements. Purification of living beings submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas, but the ultimate achievement is different. Unless it is attained, the living being, even though fully equipped, cannot be situated in a transcendentally normal stage. Srila Vyasadeva appeared to have lost the clue, and therefore he felt dissatisfied. The dissatisfaction which was being felt by Srila Vyasadeva is expressed herein in his own words. This was felt for the normal condition of the living being in the devotional service of the Lord. Unless one is fixed in a normal condition of service, neither the Lord nor the living being can become fully satisfied. This defect was felt by him when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, reached him. It is described as follows. So you see, the defect is, although he explained so much knowledge, he didn't really make it clear that devotional service is the goal of all that knowledge. Devotional service to Krishna is the goal of all that knowledge. So that people can read all those Vedas and not become engaged in pure devotional service. Okay, so the idea that by reading the Vedanta Sutra, you don't go past Brahman realization, that is stated here. Let me see if I can find the exact statement. Okay, I think I found it. This is 1.5. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshana, or Vedanta Sutra, is Vyasadeva himself. Yet he is troubled, although he is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by the author? So, okay, let's see. Okay, the prompt diagnosis of Shri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord, meaning Krishna, in his various editions of the Puranas. He was certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, salvation. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Srila Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. From this, it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. So that's the point. And then, so it's simply going up to the Vedanta Sutra, one may not necessarily understand that devotional service is the goal, and devotional service to Krishna is the goal of all Vedic knowledge. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is confidential. Not everyone understands its importance. And because of that, you can go to different places in South India and you'll see so much explanation of Vaikuntha and nothing about Goloka. Absolutely zero. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll speak about this some more. I have to do a little more. I have to find the exact quotes where he says that you can only reach Brahman realization by studying Vedanta Sutra. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.